Welcome back. It was last April that we first introduced you to Kelly Brotzman and the Prison Book Program at the United First Parish Church in Quincy Center. She's back today with an update and has brought with her the president of the board, Ellen Lubell. So ladies, Happy New Year, first of all.
Happy New Year.
Thanks to you too.
Kelly, yes. Great to see you again.
Great to see you again. Thank you for having us back.
Yeah, we're looking forward to learning about this new publication through the Prison Book Program. But first, as I always like to do with our guests, kind of start with a recap of what is the Prison Book Program.
Sure. So Prison Book Program has been around since 1972.
Oh, is that all?
We've been housed in Quincy Center in the basement of the Church of the Presidents for 21 years now, since 2004. And we are one of the largest organizations, nonprofits, that sends free books to people in prisons and jails in all 50 states, as well as Guam and Puerto Rico. We serve over 1,000 facilities. We collect donated books, and we have some wish lists, and we purchase some books, like dictionaries. And people write us a letter. They tell us what they're looking to read, what sort of reading material they need. And we, in response, we use volunteers, very small staff. So we have over 200 volunteer sessions a year, during which people respond to those requests with usually a 3-pound package of reading material. So we last year sent over 70,000 books.
Amazing.
To about 20,000 people in prison.
That's amazing.
So yeah it's very exciting.
I think it was always assumed, and we talked about this before, that prisons have libraries, you know, and inmates have access, but that's not the case, right?
Most prisons have something that is called a library.
Right.
Most are extremely substandard. Yeah. And just because your prison has a library doesn't mean you can go to it. Going to it is a privilege that can be taken away, and frequently is. And certain people housed in certain sections of the prison may not be able to go to it in solitary or restricted housing.
Sure.
A few books on a cart may come to them, once a week. And one thing we're learning too, post-pandemic, is that staffing the libraries, again, has become a real challenge. Mm. So a lot of times the libraries are only open like one day a month, so they're limited access. And some people who write to us tell us they've read everything in their prison's library.
Sure. Yeah.
Or their library doesn't have what they're looking for, which is very often up-to-date nonfiction, because prison libraries tend to be stocked with the cheapest books available, which tend to be pulp fiction.
Mm.
And so that's really where we come in. Mm-hmm. We sort of fill the gaps in what people can access. And for those who don't know, incarcerated people do not have access to the internet. And so books are really where it's at. If you want to learn a new skill, if you want to grow or develop as a person, just sort of prepare yourself for reentry into society, books are the primary avenue for doing that.
Sure. And is your program available only to prisons that say yes, you can donate books?
Okay,
so it's up it's up to the prison.
The prisons usually have a policy on approved senders of books into the facility. And like I say, we have that status at over 1,000 facilities. There are always a few facilities that just will not take books from programs like ours or from our program specifically. But we try to keep that number as low as possible.
Okay, all right. So the reason we have you back, and we have Ellen here today too, is to talk about this new publication. It's The Insider's Guide to Jailhouse Law, a publication of the Prison Book Program in 2024. So this is a brand new project, right?
This is very, very exciting.
Yeah.
We did our first printing in November. And we anticipate huge, huge demand for this item, which we will provide for free to any incarcerated person who requests it. It's also available for free on our website as a PDF or as a download. For 20 years, we had a free legal resource called We the People, a Legal Primer, which was written for us by a formerly incarcerated person who had done jailhouse law for a number of people that he was incarcerated with pretty successfully. And so we published and distributed that from 2004 to 2024. But a lot happened in the law. in those years.
Sure.
And so the publication had gradually become quite out of date.
Sure.
And was in need of substantial revision. And so that's really where this came in. Ellen and another member of our board, Lee Collins, worked for 2 years to make this publication available, and it includes some of the same things that were in the previous resource, like a capsule legal dictionary of legal terms. But it also contains a whole host of new legal information that is vital to people who both want to challenge their conviction and who want to challenge the conditions of their confinement.
Yeah.
So it is really, we believe, not exaggeration to say that this is the most comprehensive and practical free legal resource for incarcerated people in the United States.
So Ellen, talk a little bit about what it took to put this publication together and the research involved. You're a retired attorney yourself.
Yes, I am, yeah.
You had a team, I'm sure.
Well, the primer that we had before this, it was really, as Kelly said, woefully insufficient for what people would need. And I really looked around to see what else was available. And the only things that we found, Lee and I did, the only things we found were, you know, huge, huge tomes that cost $300 and couldn't possibly be used easily by somebody in prison. And we decided, you know, we want to create something that can be held on to easily and passed around people, and let's keep it at 100 pages and see what we can do. So I used some connections and identified a wonderful professor at Seton Hall University Law School, Professor Jenny Burkhandon, and we worked with her and her students. And I thought this is a perfect project for a group of students.
Right?
So
yeah.
We worked with all of them to outline what we thought would be needed in here, and then they did drafting. We did a lot of editing so that we could turn it really from sort of a legal tome, if you will, to a more welcoming kind of resource that used more, you know, language that was really more inclusive of individuals as opposed to law teams or whatever.
Right.
Make it generally accessible.
More generally accessible. We looked very much at grade level and tried to keep, you know, really strike a balance between, you know, simplifying and defining, but also keeping the sophistication that was necessary to actually use it. Mm-hmm. Right? Certainly didn't want to dumb anything down.
Right.
We really just wanted to make it more readily available to people. We also found somebody to provide illustrations for this.
Oh.
We worked with him because we also thought that's a welcoming thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you read and you feel like people are understanding me. I think it helps to gain trust. It really did take 2 years of hard, very detailed work to produce this. And I also called some translation services to see, is there any way that we could get a good rate at getting this translated into Spanish? And lo and behold, we found a translation service that agreed to do it pro bono for us.
So it'll be available.
So it will be available in just a month or so in Spanish as well.
Okay. So who would benefit from this publication, Ellen? Who is it kind of geared
towards? Well, it's important really for anybody who's incarcerated, who first of all wants to have a better understanding of sort of the general legal system, how the courts are put together, where do laws come from, what's the difference between state and federal.
Right.
So there's an understanding, they can get an understanding of what their rights are in prison. So for example, they're not getting the halal food that their religion requires them. And do they have any rights to say, I need that? What if they are assaulted? What if they're raped in prison? Do they have any rights?
Hmm.
What would they do about that?
Medical negligence.
What if there's the medical care is making them, you know, it's substandard and they're getting sicker and sicker. So there are many ways that people who are incarcerated can simply find out what their rights are in prison.
Okay.
And to the extent their rights have been violated, what they can do about it. So that's one piece of it.
Yep.
Another piece of it is another piece of it is, how do I challenge my conviction? I think I shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. Or, you know something? We got a letter once. Mm-hmm. I heard about a Supreme Court case this person wrote, and I have a chance because I was convicted, I was sentenced to life as a minor. I think I can challenge that and get out sooner.
Oh, because
and
the
make
rules
a case.
Around juveniles
because
have changed.
The rules around juveniles have changed. Okay. So we actually connected him with an attorney.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Because there are people like that who are entitled to have their either be resentenced
reviewed.
Yeah. Or to have their sentences mm-hmm. reviewed. Exactly.
So is this maybe for incarcerated folks who don't have representation?
Almost nobody in prison has a lawyer.
Really?
So one thing people may not realize is that once you're convicted, the legal profession really has nothing for you.
Really?
Post-conviction legal representation is almost entirely absent and is really limited to cases of actual innocence where there may be DNA or something like that, and where an innocent project might represent you.
I see.
But so most people in prison who are actually going back to the courts are representing themselves. They are their own attorney.
Okay. Yeah,
so what this is really sort of a legal self-help manual,
right.
So that you would know what papers to file, when and where to file them.
Mm.
When you are acting as your own attorney.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's very, very rare for incarcerated people to have professional legal advice.
That's
but I do want to say also, look, this is 100 pages.
92, right?
It's 92, yeah, I forgot where we ended up with. It's really packed full of important information, just as we've talked about.
Yeah.
It is not a substitute for a good lawyer. I mean,
okay.
I'm a lawyer, and
well,
I know
right,
life is
right.
a little more complicated
right.
than 92 pages.
But it can get them started.
But
it can get them
started.
But it
really
yeah.
is a way, even to say, like, how would you work with a lawyer? What kinds of issues are important? What kind of documentation should you be collecting
yes.
as you mm-hmm. anticipate, you know, bringing in action?
Timelines
yeah.
for
timelines,
filing
so.
Certain kinds of appeals and certain kinds of motions and writs and so on. There, the legal system can kind of foil people's attempts when things aren't filed correctly. So this contains instructions and information on how people can represent themselves most effectively.
Okay, yeah. All right. So an individual incarcerated reading this and saying, identifying with some of the issues in this, how do they advocate for themselves? Do they
right.
ask for the sheriff of that?
Yeah,
county,
I mean,
we
try to give
jail?
Some guidance there.
Okay.
And also, you know, how do you address people in a court, for example,
right.
or,
yeah.
you know, the fact that there are agencies that are, you know, and the Bureau of Prisons and sort of the different actors
okay.
in the system.
Okay.
But, I mean, we don't mean to suggest this is the, you know, the be-all and the end-all
right.
of what it takes.
Right.
But it certainly is something that will give people a sense of
yeah.
where do I go? There are a lot of resources in here that
okay.
are provided. For example, a list of virtually all the Innocence Projects in
okay.
the country.
Which provide
you know,
free legal assistance.
Which
mm-hmm.
would provide
mm-hmm.
free and a lot of other good resources. So so we really think, you know, we have to balance space.
Yeah.
And we're a nonprofit. We
right.
we had
yeah.
to raise money in order to.
I was
going to
say publishing is not cheap.
Yeah, right? publishing
no.
and then mailing it is not cheap. So
right.
we really wanted to have something that was that we could you know that was manageable and that people could hold on to, in their cells. And really pack it as full as we could.
Yeah, it's broke. I just want to read from the table of contents
yeah.
just to give folks a sense for what it includes. They're broken down to three parts, essentially, right? Part one, understanding the legal system, so an overview of
mm-hmm.
what
yes.
they're facing. Part two, understanding your rights mm-hmm. in prison, which maybe some folks don't realize
yeah.
they even
right.
have rights.
Rights. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then part three, advocating for yourself, practical advice for people who are incarcerated. And these are broken down into different
mm-hmm.
chapters as well. But it really is
yeah.
set up as a self-help workshop. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we find. We hear when people who write to us, thousands of people write to us every year, and they say, I could sit here with a statute book. I could read from statutes.
Or
I could read the laws.
In legalese.
But it doesn't tell me where to start.
Right.
What
yeah.
do I write? Where
yeah.
do I send it?
Yeah.
So this is intended to sort of help people navigate sort of as a roadmap. Because, you know, you can have access to maybe, you know, a case book or something like that that you would have in law school, in the law library at your facility, but it doesn't necessarily tell you how to use that. So there's examples here on appropriate legal citations. Because if you're going to file legal papers, you have to cite cases and and statutes correctly.
Okay.
Now, that's hard. Yeah. It's extremely technical how you cite specific precedent cases.
You would need access to a law library to do that.
Yeah, right? And so there's information in here on how to cite, how to conduct legal research.
Sounds daunting, Kelly. Sounds daunting.
Yeah. It was enormous.
Yeah, I bet.
Was an enormous,
Yeah, but it also sounds daunting for an individual that's trying to navigate
this. It's absolutely daunting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, weird.
Especially if they don't have legal background.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and we I mean, before we created this, we would get a request from somebody asking for a law dictionary. And, you know, we don't really have a lot of law dictionaries to send out anyway, but I think we all know, you don't have to be a lawyer to know, that's not going to get you very far. But people are desperate for, you know, some kind of access to understanding the system and to understanding what they can do for themselves.
The number of people who write to us, for example, about the health care that they're receiving, and we know that the standard is quite low. It's much lower than it is for medical negligence out here.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're looking for ways to get treatments or to get access to treatments that would easily be had by you or by myself. And so they now have a little bit of a roadmap on how they could start an action to receive that kind of that treatment or to get maybe outside medical help.
Yes.
So it's also about the conditions
area.
Of confinement. They can sort of at least challenge some of those conditions.
Okay. So this was just printed in November. So hot off the presses, literally.
Right. Hot off the presses. Yeah.
Yes. Born. Have you had requests for it already?
Oh,
yes.
So many.
Really?
So many. Thousands.
Okay.
Yeah, thousands. We've sent out, our initial printing was 1,000, and I think we're almost finished with that one. So we'll order the next 1,000. And as it starts to get into people's hands, we imagine that, you know, word of mouth is how information primarily circulates
Absolutely.
In prison.
Still this day.
And
so
we anticipate demand really going up over the next 6 months.
Okay.
We should say thank you to Foley Hoag, which is a law firm in Boston, the Mifflin Memorial Fund, and the Boston Bar Foundation, all of which helped us fundraise in order to support, you know, many years of publishing this resource.
And then the LSI Foundation, which was the translation services.
Okay.
And we had other wonderful anonymous donors.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So,
that's nice.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
Can families of folks who have people in prisons request these?
Yes. They can.
And
yes.
Get it to them?
They
okay.
can.
Yes.
They can print it off at home if they have, you know, the means to do that.
Right.
But they can also request, we'll mail one to them.
Okay.
And, you know, other people can request it too. So we have public defenders.
Right.
Other kinds of advocates for incarcerated people who want, you know, a carton of these to send out to clients, people they may be supporting or representing in some way.
It's the Insider's Guide to Jailhouse Law. We've been putting up your website, your email address as well for folks to reach out. And the Prison Book Program continues at the church, right?
Yes, four
Fabulous.
Times a week.
Okay.
Anyone can sign up on our website to come and join us, fulfill book requests, sort through donated books, process our incoming mail. It's a very joyful and fun place to volunteer.
Thank you both. Really appreciate the opportunity
for having us.
To learn about this.
Thanks
Hopefully
for having
some
us.
Good information out.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Great. Super.